Good evening and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Welcome to my co-hosts, Becky Bradley, the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, and Matt Assad, its Managing Editor.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi. So our show today is going to take a more in-depth look at how the Lehigh Valley's strong employment landscape is driving population growth. We're going to look at employment and population, what that growth is going to look like in the decades to come. We are joined by economist Minsoo Park. Minsoo has a unique position here in the Lehigh Valley in that he works for both the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission and Workforce Board Lehigh Valley, using his data analytics and quantitative modeling to identify and forecast trends in population, employment, and workforce shifts. Minsoo is a native of South Korea and has spent several years in New York City, where he obtained his bachelor's degree in finance economics at Columbia University. He developed a marketplace app designed to give Columbia students a safer way to buy and sell their possessions within the Columbia community. Before arriving in the Lehigh Valley, Minsoo worked as an economic development assistant in the city of Redmond, Washington State. Welcome, Minsoo.
Good evening, and thanks for having me today. I'm very excited to talk about our recent work at LVPC.
Awesome. Well, let's dig in. Matt, what can people expect to see in this employment and population forecast?
So on the surface, it's actually pretty simple. It's a forecast of the number of people who live here and how that's going to grow, and the number of people who work here and how that's going to grow between now and 2050. Pretty simple. Here's a hint, we're growing really fast. Beneath that, though, it's pretty complex. They use Minsoo and Sabam Correll. They use more than 70 data sets. And that's how they're able to forecast not only how many people are coming, but where they're going to live, you know, what ethnicity they're going to have, you know, how old they are, where they'll be coming from. So they get a pretty clear picture. And that's not just for population. They also do it for jobs. So it predicts where people are working, where they're coming from, what job sectors are going to grow. So it's pretty useful information. It's probably why it's maybe our most popular product. Everybody wants it because it really is, it gives you a really good tool on how to plan for the future if you're a business or if you're a community or if you're a school district.
That makes a lot of sense. Becky, why do you think this region has such consistent growth, even through economic downtimes nationally and locally?
Well, first of all, we've always had a fairly robust economy, even when things were not so great. Let's say the economic downturn in the early 2000s, right, with the housing bust. Even through that, while, you know, it wasn't certainly rainbows and unicorns, we had a very diverse mix of jobs here, and by and large, the region got by. Our proximity to other major metros complements our robust local economy and our diverse local economy. So we have talent supply and talent pool that expands far beyond our region and connects into the New York metro, the Philly metro, and points north and west of the Lehigh Valley. So that's really helped us shoulder these broader economic circumstances. And it really is everybody in the region pulling together to get through those. It's the economic development community, it's the planning community, it's the governance that occurs here in the Lehigh Valley, along with the businesses and the people. Really, it is a beautiful thing that we have in the Lehigh Valley that allows us to kind of shoulder everything. And it really spans to our work ethic while balancing that quality of life that surrounds us everywhere with our, you know, our waterways and our parks and these other things. People value the community aspects, and that actually has a psychological value that translates into an economic value.
I love that summary of what makes this place so wonderful. Like, we really have a very unique thing here in the Lehigh Valley. So I think this used to be called the population and employment forecast, and now employment is taking the lead role. Why is that?
Well, it's really a couple of things. Jobs are changing really rapidly. And it's not just the deployment of technology and AI and the things that we're all talking about every single day. It's the fact that we have a mix of skill levels here in the Lehigh Valley and skill depth that is critical to support, especially because we're kind of in this brave new era that's really been influenced by these major global economic, national economic situations. So we have our own thing, that's for sure. A lot of homegrown businesses, a lot of companies have located here, grown here. But the face of the jobs, whether it's inside government, inside the educational sector, inside manufacturing, are changing really, really, really rapidly. And so we wanted to honor the fact that our big point of change right now is in the economy itself and the people and the technologies that support that economy.
Okay. Now, Minsu, what role does artificial intelligence play in making this forecast?
There are many different ways to forecast the future, actually, and each model works a little differently. And everyone does forecast and they use different methodologies. Some rely on traditional econometrics or statistics, and others use mathematical formulas. And there are also AI time series models that predict the future of a single variable. For example, forecasting population using only past population numbers and its historical trend. But for our work, we used a deep learning AI model that can look at multiple variables at the same time, but not just single one. This really matters because population and employment don't change on their own, but rather they move together with things like housing availability or commuting patterns, moving patterns, income levels, demographics, and the type of industries in the region. And to get an accurate forecast, you need to consider all of these connected factors. What we did was feed the model a large amount of historical data with many different variables, and the model finally learned the patterns and relationships across all of them. If we had used a traditional model, we would have to rely on a lot of assumptions about how the future will behave. But those assumptions often don't hold up in the real world, and that can lead to bigger forecasting errors. But our AI model reduces these errors because it learns directly from the data instead of depending on fixed assumptions or formulas. And also, this model is also very cost-effective because as soon as you build a model in-house, you only need to input additional data every year when newer data is available, which means with more data, the accuracy will improve even further.
Right. So let's talk numbers. Why will our jobs numbers grow even faster than the population or our population? And what does that say about our economy?
According to our result, by 2050, we expect our population to grow by about 19%, while jobs grows by around 25%. And there are several reasons why job growth is outpacing population growth in our region. And I think Becky also covered and then pointed out a really good point in her previous response. But first, I would like to emphasize our region has experienced a strong economic momentum over the past few decades. Healthcare continues to expand steadily every year. Manufacturing has made a comeback and is generating significant output and hiring. Transportation and warehousing are also growing quickly because of our geographic advantages. And altogether, these and other growing industries added more than 120,000 jobs over the past 20 years. And this clearly shows our region is in a growth phase. In growing regions like ours, companies benefit from expanding here due to network effect and relatively lower operating costs as well. And that naturally create a large number of career opportunities. This is not the end of story, and this is where the ripple effect comes in. When new jobs are created, people move into the region to fill them. And once they arrive, they spend money on such as housing, food, retail services. And this supports local businesses and encourages new ones to open. That spending creates even more jobs across different industries. An economist called this the multiplier effect or induced effect, which means one new job can indirectly generate additional jobs throughout the economy. This cycle of jobs attracting people and people generating more jobs is a major reason why job growth can exceed population growth in a region that is expanding, just like us. Now, over time, as growth naturally slows, the gap between population and job growth will likely narrow in the future. But at least for the next couple of decades, the data suggests that this growth cycle will likely continue in the Lehigh Valley. It is important to note that even though the job growth rate is higher, the population still grows by a larger number. By 2050, the Lehigh Valley is expected to add about 100,000 people and 80,000 jobs. So faster job growth does not mean we will be left with a large number of vacant positions. It simply reflects a healthy, expanding economy, actually.
One of the interesting things I've noticed, and it's happened just over the past few years, is we are now a net importer of jobs. So if you would go before the pandemic and you kind of added up all the people who work here and you add up the people who leave here for jobs and the people who come here for jobs, we were actually an exporter. Like, more people were leaving the Lehigh Valley. But just in the last 5-7 years, there are now 8,000 more people coming to the Lehigh Valley for work than there are leaving, which is pretty amazing. I mean, it's a big change compared to what it was just before the pandemic. And that kind of speaks to how strong our job market is. We actually have more jobs, and we have to have folks coming in from like neighboring regions to fill them.
Yeah, especially North Jersey.
Yeah.
Up until the pandemic, it, as Matt noted, there was a lot more people going out to work. Most people didn't make it past the middle of New Jersey. We paid a close attention to that because there's that New York myth. You know, there are people that work in Manhattan and in New York City that work here for sure. But people used to, you know, talk about it like there's tens of thousands of people. Well, not really. But after the pandemic, we've really seen, you know, thousands of people coming to work in the Lehigh Valley from North Jersey, you know, more than double the people coming out of North Jersey and New York to work in the Lehigh Valley than going from the Lehigh Valley to work in either of those places. So that's been a very strong shift in the terms of our commuting patterns.
Yeah, that's a crazy reversal, because our wages aren't necessarily keeping up with New Jersey and New York metro, right?
I think that started to change. It has started to change. Is it, you know, a one-to-one in every context with every job? Of course not. But I think a lot of employers at the workforce board, and Minsu works, as you noted in his intro, for LVPC and the workforce board. But I mean, the workforce board is doing a really good job over time, you know, communicating with employers about the assets we have and helping them find talent and doing the things that are really, in an interesting way, not just marketing the region, but making sure the employers have what they need in terms of skills and talent and in the labor force. And so, you know, some credit definitely needs to go to them as a supporting agency, along with all the businesses and nonprofits and government agencies that are hiring within and also and within the region and from neighboring regions. But I'll never forget, and you know, in honor of Nancy Dishnot, I gotta say it, she used to say "wage up, buttercup" right after the pandemic, and when the great, you know, reorganization, they called the great reorganization happening, and she made a difference, and people listened because they were losing talent. So the tide has definitely started to shift. So it does make it more realistic for people to not only live here and work here, but to work here and even live some other place.
And there's a significant number coming as well from places like Carbon County and Schuylkill County and Monroe County, where the salary range is much closer to ours and probably less.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we do want to pay Nancy Dishnot tribute. She passed away recently, but she's just been a force within the workforce board for decades. So Minsu, what jobs will be growing the fastest?
Yep. So right now, today, about 75% of jobs in the Lehigh Valley are concentrated within eight major industries. And within those, four major industries like healthcare, manufacturing, transportation and warehousing, and retail trade, employing about half of our workforce. These are the industries that I mentioned earlier in the previous response. And our forecast shows that eight industries will continue to make up roughly 75% of all jobs in the region. And the trend will likely continue. But within that group, some sectors are expected to grow faster than others. And we're expecting to see the changes in the industries as well. So based on historical trends, transportation and warehousing is projected to add the largest number of new jobs. Using the most recent data available, our model shows that this industry could grow to nearly twice its current size by 2050. We also expect strong growth in several other areas, including construction, management of companies and enterprises, professional scientific and technical services, and administrative and support services, and wholesale trade. And these industries are positioned to expand faster than the overall job market and will play a major role in shaping the region's future economy. And this result indicates that our region is expected to see more diverse industries and businesses by 2050.
Wow, that's a lot. And I can imagine we're going to have conversations in the future about what that means for transportation and roadways and infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But how is our population growing then?
For population growing, there are really two ways a region can grow its population. First is people being born or people moving into our region. In the Lehigh Valley, recent data shows that birth and death are nearly offsetting each other. Most of our population growth is coming from people moving into our region. And our data shows, I think Becky and Matt mentioned this one earlier, our data shows that many people from New Jersey and New York moved into the Lehigh Valley after COVID pandemic era. And the number of people moving into our region from those two states is about three times the number of people moving out to them. And also the number of people moving here from other states has been rising recently after COVID. And these newcomers are becoming an important driver of population growth in our region. I think now we can ask, why are people choosing to move here then? And there isn't just one reason, but economic research consistently finds that the biggest driver is career opportunity and job accessibility. And that is exactly what we are seeing here in the Lehigh Valley. Industries like transportation and warehousing and healthcare have been adding a significant number of jobs over the past decade. And these sectors also offer opportunities for people who may face hiring barriers in more specialized or high-skill industries. And our region does not only offer many jobs, but it also provides options to future employees as well. Another major factor is the lower cost of living compared to the nearby metropolitan areas. Our region sits in a prime location close to several large cities, giving residents access to multiple job markets and commuting options. And during the pandemic, our region saw a noticeable increase in population, and census data shows that the number of remote workers jumped after 2020. This suggests that Lehigh Valley attracted remote workers who wanted to reduce their cost of living while still keeping their jobs elsewhere.
Interesting. So where do you see the biggest population increase happening here?
According to our model result, it shows that Upper Mekongji Township is projected to add the largest number of new residents in the Lehigh Valley. And also the city of Allentown comes in second. And over the next 25 years, Upper Mekongji is expected to gain about 29,000 people, while Allentown is expected to add around 17,600. And we also anticipate meaningful population increase in Whitehall, Palmer, and Bethlehem Township, each adding several thousand residents. And what is interesting is that the pattern of future population growth lines up closely with projected employment growth. And of course, factors like housing prices, commuting options, and overall quality of life also play a role. But according to our model, employment opportunities are the primary driver behind why those particular areas are expected to grow the most.
So I got really hung up when you said Allentown was second in population increase projection. Where are those people going to go? I mean, I know we're building a ton of housing, but it's somewhat a landlocked area, right?
We'll see it through a redevelopment like we've seen it. And there's also some properties that haven't really been developed yet. It's very interesting. The simplest way to do it is to look at Google, right? Earth, and you look at the aerial and you can see where there's lots that just were never built on it for a variety of reasons. Maybe it really wasn't a buildable lot and it's too many steep slopes or something like that. But there's infill opportunities. We've seen the redevelopment of the downtown in particular, and that's expanding into other parts of the city as well. So I do expect to see more infill, more reuse, adaptive reuse of buildings in particular for a variety of uses. Could be mixed use, could be residential. And that's going to continue throughout the three cities. You're also really going to see it in our boroughs as well, but they tend to be a little bit smaller, so it won't be unlikely to be, a 10 story complex, but
And Future LV calls for densifying some of these areas so that we don't have to, we don't have to churn up farmland.
right. But we're not talking the density that you see in Brooklyn, right? And I think that's something that is important to note, because a lot of people, when you bring up density, get very nervous. Some people even get scared because they left areas that were more dense. It's not that. It's not. It's more like low scale, mid scale density.
What's happening in Allentown right now?
Yeah,
And
it's
I think
actually,
most people would say that's for the better.
yeah, happening in Lower Macungie Township too. I mean, it's happening in Bethlehem Township. It's happening all over.
Yeah, I think that's important to note what you said about the farmland, that it's not just taking over all the farmland. We're still going to have that, right? Good.
Yeah, that's the goal, right? We can't control if a farmer wants to sell their land to a developer if the township that it's located in allows a development on it, or a high density development on it. Then the township, the local government, has decided that it wants building there. But when a local government has things in agricultural security areas and zones things for farming, that's how you can manage the growth. And so we've really been working hard with local governments to focus on how their zoning ordinances are performing, because that's the foundational element, what you can and can't do on a piece of property, to help, manage that line of growth. In addition, people, both counties, have very robust and active programs. If a farmer wants to sell their development rights and permanently preserve their farm for agricultural use, a local property owner can decide to do that as well. But not every farmer wants to do that. And so, you'll have some things that'll never be developed, and then you'll have other parcels that you don't know if it'll be developed. But again, like, focusing on local governments actually have that power and those tools to say what can be done on the land. And we've been focused a lot with our local governments on that, what we call performance-based planning. Does your zoning actually account for the impacts of growth? Well, if it doesn't, then you might want to rethink how you have that zoned to try to combat the sprawl and allow for our agricultural economy to continue to survive.
So the landscape in the world right now is just changing so rapidly. Matt, how accurate can we expect these projections to be decades down the road?
Well, I think I went back and I checked our 2020 predictions, and I think we were within 1,000 people, which is pretty amazing when you're talking about 700,000 people. However, these are not absolutes. Things happen. A pandemic happens, and then that changes. The pandemic that we just had actually changed the trajectory of how quickly we were going to grow, and that is reflected in these. It showed we're going to grow quicker than we previously thought. Other things can happen. Federal policy could change. There could be a natural disaster in a country that typically comes here as far as migration. So things could change. But this is the best guess we have, more than a guess, a best educated guess we have based on the 70 plus data sets that they used. And as I said last time, we were spot on.
Yeah, and here's the other thing too, is we measure and monitor this basically all the time. And we reissue these projections, refine them, expand them like every 4 years. And again, they're based on a statistically validated model, which Minsu built along with Gio Rizkala and Dr. Sabam Karel. And I know Sabam has been on the show before, but they built a model that allows us to do this in a more accurate way than we've ever done it in the past. We just built our own model to do it instead of relying on expensive software that was less accurate. And honestly, technology allowed us to do that. That, I think, are important points, too. And Minsu and Dr. Karel and Gio Rizkala, they really should be proud of the work that they've done that enabled these most detailed and I believe the most accurate projections to date, to, even though our other ones were accurate too, but these are even more accurate. And they really should be complimented for the hard work because they built that themselves.
Yeah, it's really impressive and really cool to have our own product, our own model built here in the Lehigh Valley. So as we're winding down our conversation today, Becky, quickly, what challenges are going to come with all of this growth?
Oh, there are many. The one that I think is the most pressing is the one around infrastructure. And we all know about the issues with traffic congestion, right? And we know the need for enhanced transit and more transit connectivity with our bikeways and our sidewalks and really enhanced mobility across the system. But there's some things that are far less obvious, yet they are just as critical as the transportation system, and in some cases, even more critical. A lot of our sewer systems were planned back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and they've seen maintenance level investment, but not necessarily the rebuilds that they're going to need as they reach the end of their useful life, you know, 50 years later, 60, 70 years later. And on top of it, they're feeling the stress of growth. And so if we have this growth, we have to be able to have clean water and clean and wastewater disposal that is sanitary, right? And safe to make sure that our water remains clean overall, right? And so those tend to be some of our bigger challenges that we're experiencing in addition to stress on the electric grid. I mean, everything you have practically has to be charged and plugged in. You throw on electric vehicles, you throw on just more use in general. Then you throw on things like a hyperscale data center or two or three. And one of those alone is enough to power 500,000 homes, almost equal to our population, a little less. But at the end of the day, I mean, we have to have power distribution systems, power generation. All of these things are going to factor in. I didn't even mention, you know, connectivity. Sure, we have broadband access by and large throughout the Lehigh Valley, but is it going to be enough as we need more and more and more and more data? So all of these things are really playing together. And I believe our biggest planning challenge is that of infrastructure globally, and that we really have a need to focus on infrastructure is one of our primary issues in the region in order to support what we have, let alone manage the growth that we're experiencing now or are projected to experience. And that factors into other things like housing and the educational system and all of these things as well. But if you don't have those basics, you can't support the growth. And so focusing on those in this kind of age of new infrastructure is going to be a critical component of what the commission does.
Right, right. So, Becky, tell us when this full report's going to be released and where people can find it.
Yes. So, we mentioned that it's a joint report with the Workforce Board Lehigh Valley, and they have a wonderful new director, Kathy. I met with Kathy here recently, and we're in the process of figuring out a release date, but we're thinking it's probably going to be early January where we can get together and have a nice, you know, conversation about what's in the document, get it out to the business community in a real way. We definitely are grateful to the Workforce Board for their continued partnership and working together with us on this key document. It's one of the most popular things that we do. every 4 years, because as Matt noted, it affects everything.
Well, once again, we've blown through 30 minutes. We're out of time. So I want to thank Minsu and Becky and Matt for your time. You've been listening to Plan Lehigh Valley here at WDIY 88.1 FM. You can listen to this program again at our website, wdiy.org, or our free app, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you, and have a great night.